Most of us are familiar with the concept of do as I say, not as I do. Oftentimes, this is coming from a parent, and if we're being honest, it is the height of hypocrisy. It makes no sense for us to tell our kids to do one thing while we show them a totally different behavior. And my wife and I are no exception. We have at times been hypocritical parents, but there is still hope for us all. Let's make the effort to align our walk and our talk, and our children will be blessed. Welcome to Blended. I am your host, Jeremiah Wallace, and my goal is to see blended families thriving. If you are navigating this experience, then you're in the right place. This podcast is purposed to provide support, information, and the encouragement that we need to fulfill our family's potential. Blenders, we have another fantastic episode in store. I have my lovely wife.
You said with blenders. Me. Yay. Hi, blenders.
Hey.
I love that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. We are getting a community of people. We are getting a ton of individuals in this posse. Is it a posse? What is a posse?
No,
are posses violent?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't like this.
We'll stick. We'll keep it
people.
Simple.
A people group.
We are a people group.
Oh, boy. Do I have stuff in my teeth?
No, you're good.
Okay, cool.
You're good.
Sorry.
But we are excited about this topic because it is controversial. We love controversy. And
we don't love it.
Honestly, we live in it. So it's just like we've gotten real accustomed.
Yeah.
But we get to talk about hypocrisy today. The message being do as I say, not as I do. So yeah. This is going to be a meaty subject, and we're looking forward to diving into it.
Right. Yeah, and it's not you're going to be your typical episode where, you know, Jeremiah interviews me, and we're looking forward to it.
So, again, do as I say, not as I do. When we were children, we can recall whether being told this outright or this being practiced in front of us. And for those of you that have done so, you've functioned in an authority in a way that you shouldn't have, whatever, hey, it's all good. I know that this topic might feel pretty convicting. Congratulations. It's convicting for us as well. Mm-hmm. We are all in some shape or form. We have been hypocrites, or we can be hypocritical in ways at this very moment.
Yeah.
And while we're all blenders here, we are also hippos, you know, we're either big hippos, small hippos.
Sorry for calling you a hippo.
sorry if we like uncovered some trauma, like elementary school, somebody call you hippo and it's just my bad. But you know what I mean? Rewind. So I want to define the term hypocrisy. It means the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. It's essentially the alignment with the walk and the talk. And being a hypocrite is when we are saying one thing and then doing another. And we can oftentimes function again in this role as parents and be hypocrites. We can say one thing to them. We can tell them one thing, put one thing on display, preach this one thing, but whether both in front of them or behind their backs, believe and live in a way that is contrary to what we are teaching them and how we're leading them. And that's how we function in hypocrisy. That's when we're stepping in hypocrisy. So we want to touch on this subject and kind of debunk this idea of do as I say, not as I do. We want to be more so on the do as I do and say as I say. We want to train our children up in a way that establishes integrity. And integrity, the general
character,
the general definition of it consists of a moral foundation and walking in a way that is upright. And the aspect of integrity that we want to focus on is the walking and talking and there being some semblance there, there being some alignment, because it can be so detrimental, the experience a child has in the presence of hypocrisy.
Yeah.
And something that I'm going to burst the bubbles up front and defend the people up front. I suggest listening to the whole episode, but we're going to get this out the way. Unfortunately, for those of us that are in a blended family, this can pertain to the traditional or nuclear family as well. But for those that are in the blended family, we are kind of, I don't want to say we're set up for hypocrisy, but the scenario is hypocritical. You think about a divorce that transpired and two people exchanged vows till death do us part and how we're going to serve this other person. And one day our children get familiar with what those vows consisted of, and they see very well that their mother and their father are alive and well. Didn't nobody die? So why did this thing disband? Why did they separate? Or you think about a single parent, and I recall our oldest daughter, and this was before I was in the picture, Margot expressed a story, and I think she did in a previous episode, about her daughter seeing that two parents were picking up some of her peers, some of the other students. So she recognized that what's going on in my scenario that is not right? There's just this immediate recognition of.
She actually looked at it like, what's wrong with their scenario?
Really?
She looked at it like, mom, they're going to the same house. Their mom and their dad are going to the same house. Not what's wrong with this.
Gotcha.
More so what's wrong with them.
Yeah.
Because that's what she knew.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So we're establishing this perception with our children that can be inconsistent with the reality. We've made promises, and our children are so discerning. They're so perceptive, and they are spiritually in tune with some of the things that are transpiring because they're always paying attention. Their eyes are always open, and it can be very annoying, actually, how much they are paying attention.
Yeah.
And it's important for us to stop treating them like they are second-rate citizens. Mm. And they simply need to, again, do as I say, but not as I do. It's important for us to establish an environment where integrity is precedent, opposed to just settling for the hypocrisy that whether we were subjected to and we've known, or the hypocrisy that we've kind of allowed to seep into our family life and our environment. It's not too late to make change now.
Yeah. And there's certain levels of it. Okay. So you're not going to just divulge all the information of what's going on if you and your spouse are getting into an argument, or you and the co-parent, et cetera. So there are certain levels or certain things that you talk to the kids about, but we don't act and pretend like everything's just all dandy when it's not. So I think it's important to not only focus on just telling them the truth about things, but understand where they're at certain levels in their life. And I just wanted to make mention, we're not saying that, you know, there was no reason for a divorce. Yep. We understand that there were some people were abused, and there's different scenarios. So just know that what we're getting at is talk to your kids about those things, because they're human and they deserve it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just extends this compassion and care for exactly what they're experiencing. If like the natural setting, the predisposition of children is to trust their parents because they're so dependent, they're so reliant, and they're susceptible to whatever our leadings consist of. And when there is the hypocrisy, whether it's something that they're seeing firsthand, they're experiencing, their parents say one thing and do another, the things that are corrupted at that point are their security that they have, their innocence, and just their perception concerning what the world has to offer, what family consists of, what are relationships. Just everything is being defined in front of them. And it is, again, establishing a perception. However, it may not match up with the reality or the truth as to how things should look and the order in which things should transpire. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, that gap between perception and reality. The more the hypocrisy there is, the further away that's going to be. But the more we focus on integrity, we get to close that gap between how we're telling them to live, what we are displaying as their parents, and the truth as to how they should live and what is in their best interest, not just for them, but for all people, and how we can work together. So we're going to go over some questions. And again, like Margot said, we're both going to be answering from our experience. So we're going to start with the first one. Where have you struggled as a parent in closing the gap between our kids' perception and reality? You can start.
Yes, I can start. So I've answered this question before in previous conversations with Jeremiah as I was kind of unpacking it. I think one of the ways for me is with health. So if the kids are eating a certain way or not, you know, being active, I talk to them about how it's important to be healthy because they want to, you know, do certain things in life or live longer or whatever the case may be. But then I'll turn around and not do those things. Mm-hmm. And health, not just physically, but, you know, time spent on a device. And so that is an area, I believe, for me that I've struggled with. And understanding, you know, it brings out the ugly, I guess. Not really the ugly, but the stuff that you didn't really know that you were wrestling with until you realize, oh, wow, like, I don't want my kids to I don't want them to do as I do. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe it's something I need to change. And so that is something that we have open communication about. And our kids are honest, you know, one in particular, two, actually. They let me know. Like, well, mommy, you got jiggly thighs. I do got jiggly thighs.
And you know what? And I recognize the jiggle.
Okay. Nope. We're not going there. We're not. Anyhow.
There's just blessings in many forms, you know, and I feel like, you know.
I'm so sorry. Okay. Let's move on. There might be some video clips. So if you are listening to this and you're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And why did I stop? Great. Just look into his eyes and you'll understand.
It's awesome. It's a joy that just came over me.
Wow.
That's incredible how that happened.
You answer that next question.
I will answer that same question. So where I've struggled as a parent in closing that gap is I think I can zone in on the way that I've kind of taught them to put away some of their feelings or an emotional experience that mm-hmm. they may be having. I'm surrounded by women. There are a ton of women. And we can get into this without getting too
women as in four
too worked up. Yeah, we got four girls. Here's my spouse. Yes. Incredible, you know, fantastic human beings, but the emotions run high. And oftentimes I am suggesting that people need to relax. Just calm down, just put away the emotions, like the crying, the fits, whatever is transpiring, just relax, just put it down. Like it's not that serious. And that's what I'm communicating. I'm communicating that their emotional experience, their feelings, whatever may have triggered it, whatever transpired, whether at school or with another person that I did not witness, I was not a part of. And therefore, I don't know how those things impacted them. I'm just summing this experience they're having up as just a moment of extra and excess. So I'm suggesting relax, calm down, while at the same time, I have had my own fits as a grown man who is capable of throwing furniture and doing a lot more than my children are capable of doing, having a greater impact on our home life or a more negative impact on their emotional well-being compared to when they are falling apart. Yeah. So while I'm telling them to relax, there's actually been moments where they're like, I'm going through something. And they're like, Dad, hey, Papa, hey, you need to calm down. You need to relax.
So, or Mara, just breathe.
just breathe. And, you know, in some situations, that's good. And that's exactly how I can support them. But there are those moments where they're actually going through something. And what I can do is I can come alongside them. I can show a different degree of support and teach them how to walk through whatever it is that they're experiencing. I can assist them in their self-regulation opposed to shutting things down, because it's more convenient for me for them to be quiet quicker than it is for me to go down this road with them. So as far as closing the gap, I've had a difficulty in really just their coming down to their level and remaining there, because it can be inconvenient. I want to stay up here. I want to be an authority. I have my to-do list. I have the things that I want to achieve. But there are moments with our children where, like, we teach them that the experience of other people, we want to honor them. We want to have respect for them. And there are issues that, like, are the peers of our children tend to have, and we slow them down and we're like, hey, maybe they're going through something at home, because we know personally that kids tend to act out when there's extra stress and there are just some things going on.
Can I interrupt real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's actually a story for like 2 nights ago. We were coming home and from a group or something, and our 7-year-old stopped me and was kind of wrestling with how to deal with something at school. And she was frustrated, and she was talking about this boy that just wants to just annoys everybody and is all up in people's faces and is just doing it to be mean. And so I did, exactly what we typically do. I told her, you know, maybe there's something going on at home. Like, we don't know what's going on with him. And people don't usually just do that for no reason. Mm-hmm. And then she paused and she's like, well, he did say that his mom's getting married again. And, you know, my eyes welled up and I'm like, babe, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And she paused and then she put her head down and really like felt the weight of it.
Yeah.
And then changed her like just approach or perspective on it.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, think about it. If it was me and Papa and we were no longer married and I was married to somebody else or getting married to somebody else, I'm like, how do you think that you would respond? And she was like, you know, she went a little wild, like basically without saying it, it was like, oh, hell no. You know, she would not have any control about it. And so that perspective, and that helped her bridge the gap, you know, with how she approached her friend.
Yeah. So to be like teaching them that and honing that skill set, that ability to be empathetic toward the experience of another person, to pause our preconceptions or our assumptions about another person, and whether be in their process or remove ourselves entirely because they got something going on and we just don't need to be in it. To teach and preach that while at the same time telling them constantly to just relax is where the gap can exist for me between the perception that we're building and how we're trying to teach them and the reality of what transpires when those moments happen.
Yeah. Your answer was longer than mine. So I must be.
It was.
I must not struggle as much as you.
I'm
just kidding.
I'm a little wordy. I'm sorry. So the second question, why is it so challenging to close that gap at times between the perception?
I know you're going to answer it first, but I just want to actually pause quick. Go back to when we were talking about her friend.
Yeah.
What we typically do, I keep talking to you because
it's a little awkward
for me, but what we do is actually we talk through those things, we ask about perspective, we help with the perspective, and then we pray with them. We teach them to bring people to the foot of the cross, to bring people to Jesus, even if they believe in Jesus or not. We say, we pray for people. And so I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that. That is not, we're not just like change the perspective. And then we follow up. We ask about things.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to ask the question. Mm-hmm. Why is it so challenging to close the gap at times?
I mentioned it somewhat. Mm-hmm. And that being the high horse and the role that we occupy. And it does have to do. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
That's great. Wow.
Yeah.
Pride.
Both. It's not.
Apparently I have it, guys.
Me too.
I'm a hippo.
Prideful hippo.
So yeah, it really is just, I want to I want to be the authority figure. I want to have the final say in many regards. It has to do with control. It has to do with respect, maintaining a certain image, and really just protecting myself. And many of those things stem from insecurity, because a person that is occupying a role of authority, if it's challenged even by a little person, such as our four-year-old, which it can be sometimes, how comfortable are we understanding that our authority is still intact in spite of the challenge that's taking place, in spite of the bucking against our instruction or whatever. So I think the challenge can come from just this misconception about what it means to be a parent, what it means to be an authority figure, what my role is in their lives, essentially. And it's not to rule over them. By no means. It is not to rule over them. It's to lead them. It's to guide them. It's to train them up. We'll be talking about that a bit later. But it is going to be threatened. And that is okay. That doesn't mean that my role and my authority has been relinquished.
Yeah. And I think a big thing for that is we carry things with us. So when we carry things with us from, you know, either childhood or past experiences, we don't want our kids to see our weaknesses or our flaws. And I don't think it's like we're thinking about that in the moment, but it's just part of, okay, this is where I have the opportunity to do it right. Or this is where I can be the good guy, or I'm the smart one here, or I'm the one that is, you know, I'm the boss here, when there's nowhere else in life that I'm winning. I want to win with my kids.
Yeah.
You know, or there's nobody else that takes me seriously, and I don't want my kids to not take me seriously. And so there's this insecurity, I think, that can pop up when we're wrestling with this thought, like, our kids, at least for me, I know that for myself. Oh my goodness. Sometimes I don't know if this may be most things with a husband and a wife, but I will say things 120 times. Granted, it doesn't always happen the first time with Jeremiah that they listen, but after 120 times, I think they'll listen.
120.
That's dramatic, okay? Yes. And then like two times or three times with Jeremiah. I'm like, do I need to get like a deeper voice? And, you know, so sometimes I'm the sucker. That's just what it is. But anyhow, I think that comes from insecurity with ourselves. So checking ourselves, regulating ourselves, and knowing sometimes when the kids are... They're having a moment or moments. I don't know what to do with it because I don't know how to handle it myself. If I'm being truthful, I wouldn't know how to handle that myself.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, so it's like, let me just control this situation because I don't have control anywhere else. Or I want to be the person that knows how to handle this. And truth is, if you're like me, I didn't have that experience growing up. I didn't have those examples growing up. I just didn't. So we've learned.
Yeah.
And I've been a parent for 15 years now. Lots of learning and lots of flopping.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's transition into that a little bit, because we carry over what our experience may have been. There are the people that say, do as I say, not as I do. Those are often hurt people.
Yeah.
You think about communicating that message and the pure, unadulterated hypocrisy of such a statement. Like, that is from an insecure and hurting individual that just wants whatever the resistance is to come to an end.
Yeah.
They just want to rule over. And the hurt can stem from being subject to the very experience, that very thing. So there are many a parents, including ourselves, that are probably more likely to operate in hypocrisy in moments because we were subject to hypocrisy in ways. And whether this was, you know, something that was, again, flat out said, do as I say, not as I do, or we were just surrounded by it.
Yeah.
So the next question, can you recall a time when you may have been hurt or confused by the inconsistency of others, specifically parents or authority figures, but we'll go others.
Dang.
Dang is correct.
Okay. Man.
I switched up the question.
You did. You didn't even let me know about that.
I didn't know that was going to happen. I just feel like it's good.
It is good.
I feel like it's necessary. Hmm. Do you want me to answer first?
Yes.
I don't have an answer right now, but I believe that one of the ways that I have been affected, as I mentioned before, kids are discerning. And I'm not sure when I discerned it. I was also a middle child. We're both middle children.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is literally a thing for this genre of, you know, the sequence of your birth, whatever. The genre of us human beings, middle children.
Shout out to the middle children.
Middle children. To the bids. Mid hippo.
Middle.
Middle A. Sorry, guys. Wow. But what it produced in me is I just paid a lot of attention. My older sister, dysfunctional. Younger brother, dysfunctional. Obviously, that's not their personal desire or their own doing. You know, there's so many factors that play into that. But I was very discerning.
Dysfunctionally discerning.
Yes. And what I did not want to do was rock the boat and create more chaos in my home or in many, if any, situation or a scenario. So I just carried a ton of weight. A bunch of weight. So the hypocrisy that I believe I was subjected to was authority figures not functioning in authority, not operating well in authority. And so I eventually, my goal was to do the very opposite in my own family. I was able to perceive these things, and it brought about a ton of struggles, a ton of chaos and strife in my own life, interpersonally with other people in my marriage. So my desire was to be the opposite. But the difficulty of being the compassionate, the patient, the loving leader, husband that I desire to be, I did not see it firsthand. I did not experience it. I wasn't graced with it in my own environment. So there was just a great difficulty, and it made arriving at that point where I am loving, where I am compassionate, where I am patient, it made it a treacherous hike, to be honest. Mm. So I believe that was the way in which I have been harmed as a result of the hypocrisy. I didn't have the blueprint. So I almost had to just go find it. And I am still to this day receiving my healing and my restoration and whatnot in those areas. But I see the growth, and I'm believing that there's more in store. But the damage, it was, for me, it was significant.
Yeah.
And there are many others that can say the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, babe, that you had to.
Yeah, hey, that. It's working out.
I feel like there was so many things, honestly, for me, and it's hard to. I don't want to. I feel like that's a whole, 10 episodes in itself, but for my parents specifically, I'll just go, you know, that route. Obviously, I am a Middle Eastern, and so culturally, there was a lot of things that played in that. This is, if you have, kiddos in listening to this too, I don't believe you would be, but if you do, this is a little bit, not graphic, but I was, just fair warning. I was beat as a kid, and I also was forced, we went to church. So it was this very, that was very, very hard for me. I don't know how that affected me specifically when it came to, my relationship with God. But for myself, it was, I actually, in the same way wanted to do the opposite, where I was not disciplining, Linnea when I was a single parent the way that I should have been. It affected her. But anyhow, in the beginning, and then Jeremiah came in and was like, hey, let's get it together. But for me, that was, you should have told me about this question before so I could word it properly.
No, you're doing great.
Oh my goodness. I so I was literally beat until I was like 12 years old. Not consistently all the time, but regularly. And it you know, very different to date. And, you know, love my, the parent that did. And, you know, he's fantastic. But there was a, that was culturally, that was kind of like a thing too. So not excusing anything, but that was, that made it very difficult. I was hurt and confused by that, because then we were at, you know, church and yay, happy family, you know, and all the while, when things got bad, it was bad. So
yeah.
Did that answer it? I feel it like does. That was,
yeah,
you know, it's a little on the extreme.
Yeah. So I believe it's important for us to be able to determine what we've also been subjected to.
Yeah.
And not to pull out the victim card. It's information. It's knowledge. We need to acquire knowledge when we, those of us that are hippos, and we all are, small hippos, middle, mid hippos, large. Some of you guys are almost disappearing as hippos, and you're just, integrity is fantastic. That's amazing. We hope to be there at some point. This is integrity. This is what it looks like. But it's really important for us to understand what we have come from and what we have experienced so that we can attain the knowledge and know why it is that we do the things that we do. We need to know our experiences, where we've been, and the whole allotment. And we won't have a full and complete comprehension of every experience and how they specifically impact us and how we carry it today. But it's important for us to make an effort to know where we've been, to have an idea as to where we are, so we can set things up in such a way so that we know where we're headed.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So
it's very good.
On that note, we are going to transition to what we have done to kind of close the gap to create more integrity in our home. And we've mentioned this in previous episodes, but God is our mutual source of accountability within our marriage relationship.
Yeah.
We don't lean and depend on one another entirely. That's not something that we should do. It's not something that we do, because if so, things are going to fall apart. Failure is 100% guaranteed if and when that is the case. And we've experienced that time and time again. So God is our foundation. He is our mutual source. And what we wanted to do, we had a Bible study at some point. We wanted to create accountability with our children as well. And not just with them, but it comes both ways. We wanted to be held accountable based on what the word of God says concerning a child's role, as well as the role and responsibilities of parents.
Yep.
Because what we don't want to do, as we're building this perception for our children and we're teaching them, this is the way that you should go, this is what you should do, there, it comes a point where they're just like, all right, these are just my parents just bugging. They're leading me however they see fit, but I just don't believe it's necessary. What we wanted to do is kind of debunk that narrative and that thought pattern that naturally transpires with any and every child. And we wanted to take it back to, this is actually, our job and our intention is to raise you in such a way that is consistent and it honors how the word says that we should raise you. So we had this awesome opportunity to establish that mutual source of accountability with our children. And we're going to go through some of the scripture that we went over during that Bible study. And we want to bless you guys with that. So I'll go ahead and read what a child's role is based on scripture. You want to do the parent?
Parents'
responsibility. Yeah,
is that
fine now?
Yeah, that is.
Okay, awesome. So first is honoring. It says in Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And then Proverbs 1:8-9 says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. And then we wanted to identify the fact that they are a gift.
Yep.
It says in Psalm 127 verse 3, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. And do you think my girls appreciated that?
They sure
and
did.
They started walking around, you know, a little bit more upright. Yep. Best believe yep. they did. And then Proverbs, I love how it's 13:24 is 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's not 1, 2, 3, 4, babe.
I know it's not 1, 2, 3, 4, but it's just like 13.
Okay.
Verse 24.
Okay, got it.
They need correction. 1, 2, 3, 4. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. And please know that discipline isn't always physical. We don't condone abuse. It's important to recognize the hypocrisy that we were subject to so that we can do better for our children.
Yeah.
And we are. But discipline is necessary for children. So, you know, they heard that and they're just like, our parents aren't just coming up with stuff.
Yeah.
These are things that are in the Word of God. And if they're important in the inspired Word, then they're important in our daily lives as well,
yeah,
concerning raising our children. So Margo's going to read the parental responsibility.
Yes. So Deuteronomy 11:18-21 says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking to them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. And in this part of scripture, the Lord's talking to the people of Israel after they left, you know, Egypt in slavery. So the parents, you know, they knew what was happening. They experienced everything that God did during that time. So he's saying, talk about it so the kids know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, don't keep this from them. They need to know how the Lord was with them. And then Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not aggravate your children or they will become discouraged. I mean, that's biblical.
Yeah.
And that's facts. Like fathers and mothers, okay? Do not aggravate your children or they will become discouraged.
But it is specifically, there is a very unique role,
yes,
that we fathers have. And as a result of having contempt, potentially having exercising or expressing frustration in a certain way and not doing it from a place of love. If it's not inspired, mm-hmm, by love and it's just about correction, and this can be,
or mocking
and mocking as well, mm-hmm, berating in any type of way, this can be all the more difficult for stepchildren, for children that you don't have that unique connection with. We are more likely to cause discouragement. And what is discouragement? It is a deflating of an individual to the point where they don't have courage. Mm-hmm. And it affects their faith, their belief system, how they walk in this life. Imagine a child that is courageous, that is bold, that is inspired because they have the love and support of a father. They also have the correction and discipline of a father versus one that is discouraged.
Yeah.
You know, and they're going to be looking, that it's literally, you can see it in the posture, and they're going to be looking for something else to inflate them as a result of being deflated by the man that's leading their home.
Yeah.
So
something actually happened today, if I'm going to just make mention of it real quick. I'm obviously not a father, but I was hanging out with our 7-year-old. They're on break. And so we were, her and I were just hanging out, and she can talk my ear off about anything and everything. Mm-hmm. She's talking all the whole car rides to where we were going, et cetera. And then we stopped by the store, got in the store. And then, I don't know if you saw, Jeremiah had this, you know, red drink, but it was mine initially. And I drank it and said, oh, this is like, tastes real healthy. I don't like it. And she said she wanted to try it. So she tried it. And then she spilled some in the car. And I raised my voice. And like, why did you, like, you didn't have to, you know, shake the cup because you didn't like how it tasted. And her demeanor, because I yelled at her, just shifted like immediately. And she just dropped her shoulders. She gave me the drink. And then she just sat looking out the window in the car and didn't talk to me. And my heart broke. And so I, you know, we shifted gears. I apologized to her. And, you know, it changed after that. But that was,
yeah,
that was quick.
Yeah.
All right. Next verse is Proverbs 22:6. Train a child up in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I mean, this gives me, encourages me, especially as our kids get older. You know, we have a 15-year-old now, and, you know, sometimes I'm like, all right, God, we're doing what we can. The rest is on you when she's out of this house. She's a good kid, but train a child up the way that they should go.
Yeah.
And then 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth.
That is good.
So those are some of the scriptures that we used when we were doing that Bible study with our kiddos, and it was extremely impactful. And they hold us accountable. We need to run that back.
We absolutely do.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think there was some restoration for us as well, to be honest, to be in that position, recognizing the mutual source of accountability, of love, of comfort, of correction. It really is. It's in the Word of God, and it begins and it ends with Him. So for our family to be founded on the truth of the Word and our conviction concerning the fact that it really is inspired by God and is good for our instruction in righteousness. Because of that, like, we move forward as more of a unit. And I believe at some point we will create a family huddle PDF concerning this in particular, because it's important for all families.
I was thinking that too.
Believe. Yeah.
For this in particular.
Let's go.
Okay. Maybe let's start working on it today.
But still, as I was preparing for that Bible study time with our children, the idea of creating accountability, not just us for our children, but allowing our children to kind of establish some accountability for us, it wasn't the easiest thing. Like, we're not, you know, skipping through lilies. We're saying, we literally said during this time, hey, this is our role. This is how we should be operating as parents. And when we are doing less than this, not that we expect to be perfect, but if we are veering way off to the left or to the right, we are giving you permission to call us out, to say, hey, like, based on the Word, or maybe they don't remember the specific scriptures, but this is a little out of line concerning how you should be moving in my life, how you should be instructing and whatnot.
And they're not going to voice it like that all the time. Sometimes, like, our 4-year-old will tell me, you're being rude to me today. You're being so rude to me.
Yeah.
All right. She's calling me out, and you know, and I have to check myself real quick. Like, is it just me?
Yeah. Yeah. And being receptive of that, it's not the easiest thing. Mm-hmm. So we'll get into the next question. That being, how valuable is it to be accountable to your kids?
I believe that is, there's so much value in that. I don't think we'll know until they're older. I really don't. I believe that as we are accountable to our kids, it opens up lines of communications. It opens up trust. It opens up the opportunity for them to get to know who we are, not just us getting to know who they are.
Yeah.
They understand our humanity. I remember I don't remember which kiddo, but them, when they first realized that I didn't know something, they were like, what? Like, but you're my mom. And they realize, oh, wait, I don't know. Now they'll call it. No, they have no problem, but you don't know everything. You know, yes, I understand. I don't know everything. But the accountability, I believe we believe that accountability is huge for everyone, adults, kids alike. But specifically to our kids, that gives them some weight in our lives. That gives them some authority, which is weird to say, but it gives them some authority.
Yeah.
In our lives, and I don't think we'll see the value of it until they get older. I really don't.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely, accountability from our kids establishes a level of respect. And obviously there are some children that will attempt to lord over you some things that'll overstep. So you kind of have to...
Typically in the teenage years.
Yeah. So you have to navigate it in a certain way. Be prayed up with your spouse. Make sure you guys are on the same page about all of it, or else they'll smell the blood in the water and they'll attack. Mm-hmm. So,
like, bro, it's a paper cut. How do you smell that?
So be united. Be very united. But it establishes respect, but it allows, and you kind of alluded to it, it allows for our kids to recognize our humanity and the fact that we are in process. It's so cool that we can fail in front of our children and they can recognize our shortcomings, but our the respect level and the love of the relationship is still intact.
And it gives them permission. It gives them permission to be held accountable. It gives them permission to not know things or mess things up and still have the opportunity to change things.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It really does give them permission. So you are allowed to fail as well. You are allowed to succeed. You are allowed to be in process. You're allowed to not know the answers. And that's so important when it comes to life in general, but when it comes to our faith as well, because we often suspect that they're like, if you are in the body of Christ, if you're a part of the church, if you've been believing, if you do this X, Y, and Z, you have all the answers. And we don't. We absolutely don't. But we have an opportunity to pursue the one that has the answers, that being God with our children, alongside our children. So again, our unit grows stronger together. And it's not like it was back in the Old Testament when everybody had to go to the Levitical priests and everything concerning all God interaction, or everybody had to go to Moses to get just some word of knowledge or some information concerning what God shared with him. Like, we can actually like come together and pursue as one. And that is so good for the family unit. But the permission that we allow in inviting them in our process as imperfect human beings that are in pursuit of the perfect one, like, it's just, it's so life-giving, and it takes a gigantic weight and responsibility off of our shoulders that we're not supposed to carry.
It helps us grow as well. We grow when we do that, because when we're accountable to them, that means they know when we're messing up or we've messed up, and how we respond, they're watching that, because then it gives them permission to respond that way either way. And then when it happens again, when we mess up again, or when there's a heartache, they're going to look again. Did my parent learn from that? They're not thinking that, but they're watching that. They are discerning that the things that we think that we can hide from our kids are not hidden.
Yeah.
They are not. And we find out later on that as adults, they knew all along, you know, but they get to see that, and that teaches us, that helps us. And sometimes I think we avoid that, back to what I was saying earlier, because we don't want to be, we don't be held to a certain standard and fail our kids or fail ourselves, because everyone else is holding us to a standard in the world. So I want to have peace in my home, but there's growth that's needed.
All right. So next question, why do parents struggle with the idea of not being right in the eyes of their kids?
Well, I feel like we've covered that a few times throughout the episode, but we're wrong everywhere else, it feels like sometimes. You know, there's getting a win, and I think it has to do with pride. Like, we're the parent. Mm-hmm. You know, part of it, for me at least, is parents were right. Like, it didn't matter what the kids said. Like, there's like this pride that we have, that we know better because we're older. We've been there. We've done that. And in a sense, sometimes, a lot of the time we might be right, but a lot of the time we really can't see past ourselves.
Yeah.
We can't see past ourselves. We're pretty ignorant to ourselves sometimes.
Yeah. I would say we have touched on it. It's the pride and it's the insecurity. Mm-hmm. It's the fear. Also, there's the fear of losing the favor of children.
Yeah.
And that's such a trap for blended families, because there is so much worth tied into the perception of our children and what they believe about us and how they affirm our role. And you'd think of a separation that took place You want to be liked more than the other parent. Let's keep it real.
Yeah.
Like you don't, you just, you know that.
Or at least as, you know, recognized as somebody that's, you know, valuable enough to be a parent.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We want that value. We want the affirmation. We want these things that from a child, and we should not be striving to attain such things. And then you almost feel like you're competing with the other side sometimes, where they're, you know, it's the Disneyland scenario over there potentially. And you almost feel like you have to keep up because they're just having so much fun over there. You're the responsible place, and it's just hard to keep the attention of your child because it's almost like they're getting everything they want over there. Or maybe you are the Disneyland place. And let's keep it real. Like, you guys are going out to eat. The child's getting pretty much whatever they ask for. You're getting worked because you're striving for favor opposed to establishing integrity in your home and investing in the long-term well-being of your child.
There's nothing wrong with having fun. Just know that.
Nothing at all. But we got to check our hearts.
Yeah.
When we are leading with that for the sake of getting something from them. And I like that's what it comes down to. Are you doing this to get something from them? That tends to be the issue. So concerning that scenario and that dynamic, it can be easy to fall into this desire to want favor from our children, for them to see us in a certain light. But that is associated with pride. That is associated with stature. And we're comparing how we are perceived and, you know, compared to how our child perceives the other parent potentially, or we recognize that we're a hippo, a large hippo, and we have failed. We've failed our child. We just went through something, or we've just been creating this environment where there is hypocrisy, and you recognize this and it grieves you. And you're trying to make up for what was lost. And there is a point in which that kind of has to stop. A stop. Apologize. Recognize your faults with your child. Speak at their level. But then from that point forward, live in such a way that is integrous and that really helps support and edify your child, opposed to drowning them and the benefits of being your child, of, again, just making up for what was the former mistakes. Just be present. Just be present in a way that you weren't. Then stick to your word in a way that you were not able to or unwilling to then, and just allow your life, the perception that you're creating, align with the reality and how you should be as a parent, how you are. Your child should be raised and trained up in the way that they should go. Yeah. And then let the results speak for themselves. That's going to be so much more valuable than being front heavy concerning the gifts, concerning the good times, concerning the let's have nothing but happy times, because that's going to reap some destruction and dysfunction, a warped perception in the life of your child long term.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to do away with your conclusions of what it should look like to be a step parent or a parent. Do away with those conclusions, because that frees you up to grow. It frees you up to understand and accept the fact that things may not look the way that you anticipated. Hmm. And that's okay from the kid's perspective and from your perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's this last point that we'll touch on concerning being the standard in your home. As we mentioned, just the mutual source of accountability and going to God is really big for us. But when that's not the case, you are the final say. You are the answer for everything. You are the author and finisher of faith. And that's not a role that you would to adopt or occupy. That is not a safe place to be, like, because you are limited. When it comes to God, He is a well that never runs dry, and we can continue to draw from Him. But you have an end to your battery. You have an extent to which you can give yourself, and that pertains to all of us. But then when we're done, we're done. So it's important for us to intentionally avoid being the absolute answer, the final say in our homes. Do we have answers? Do we have guidance? Do we have instruction, advice, and whatnot available for our children that take it or don't? Sure.
Yeah.
But there comes a point where it's just like, I don't have it. I don't have an answer in this specific scenario, or like, we just need to seek God concerning this matter.
And we can do it together.
And we can do it together. Absolutely. Yeah. And it reminds me of a portion of scripture. This was when Samuel, he was a prophet. He was a small child, and he was under the instruction of a priest named Eli. This is in 1 Samuel 3:8-10. I'll read from, but for context's sake, Samuel was sleeping and then he heard his name while he was whether dreaming. He heard his name called and he instantly got up and he thought it was Eli. So he went to him one time and he said, "Hey, did you call me?" Eli was like, "No, bro, go to sleep."
Didn't say it like that, but yes.
Go to sleep. And then a second time, he heard Samuel. And then he got up, he said, "Eli, did you call me?" And Eli was like, "No, dude, like that's, I didn't call you." But then, because Eli was not the standard, because he was not always the answer, he recognized that he perceived something. And I'm going to go ahead and read. It says, "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" And I think that's just so cool.
Yeah.
Because Samuel, he went to his authority figure, and our children should come to us as authority figures. But there comes a point where we as parents recognize the ultimate authority figure, the source of our accountability, our comfort, our conviction, our support, our help, whatever our need may be. He perceived that. And he said, "Next time you say, 'Your servant hears.'" And he was able to have an encounter with God. But imagine if Eli was so prideful that he wanted to hoard the affection of Samuel. He wanted to hoard the attention. He wanted to be the one that has all the answers. Samuel wouldn't have been allowed to have the encounter that he had. So for us to relinquish that responsibility as parents, it's not just a blessing for us, but it is a blessing for our children. And it's necessary for our homes to operate as they should.
Absolutely. And so I encourage you guys to look inward, see where is it that you believe you're the ultimate answer, and learn to relinquish that yourself, and then bring it to God. And if you don't have a relationship with God, let us know. Talk to us. We believe that He is the foundation and the source that will help all families be able to thrive and be successful.
Absolutely. Well, that is the episode, guys. Do as I say, not as I do. We don't rock it. We want to be small hippos. That is the goal. Thank you so much, wife, for joining me on this episode. Important content. I'm glad we got to touch on our history. That's always fun. But we aspire to be great parents and to be faithful. And we believe that you guys aspire to achieve the same in your own homes. So let's go ahead and be people of integrity and lead as we should in unison with our spouses.
Yes. And before I forget, I wanted to make mention that, our website is under construction, but it will be launching in April, and there's lots of awesome things. There's going to be workshops, webinars, calls, all the good stuff. Jeremiah is writing a book, so just wanted to make sure I shout out my boo thing with those things. And so be on the lookout. We'll let you guys know as soon as it does. We've been trying to launch this thing for some time, but it's coming. it's coming.
Thank you guys for your patience.
Yes.
But we are excited for 2024. A lot of good stuff to come. A lot of good stuff ahead.
We love you, Blenders.
Love you guys. You guys are amazing. And we will see you soon. Talk to you soon. See you soon.
Talk both.
Bye.
You'll see us and hear from us.
Here soon, all the senses.
Hoo-hoo!
We won't touch you soon, though. That's...
Unless we hug you, if you come to one of our live events.
Hey!
Hey!
All right, people. You're amazing. We'll talk soon. Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you heard something throughout the episode that could make all the difference. Please take a moment to subscribe so you don't miss out on any of that blended goodness. Episodes are up and running on the second and fourth Wednesday of each month. Until then, do not settle for anything less than what's possible.